T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Clint Sterner and the Show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire presented by D&M Leasing.
It is 5 o'clock and congratulations. Hopefully your beautiful selves are off work. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest. And the latest, according to our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman, Carlos Correa, Clint, has received much interest, many offers, but is comfortable waiting through the coming lockout for the right offer. And he will wait. The usual big spenders and a majority of playoff teams have not spent big yet. And if the tax threshold rises, that could benefit him. Correa has received interest for third base as well as shortstop, but naturally in 2021, the AL Platinum Glove winner would prefer to stay at shortstop. He's saying he's going to wait, could play third, and he has had offers, but potentially he's going to just chill on this thing right now.
I'd be shocked if this dude goes somewhere where he's playing third base.
Would
you just ain't the same dude at short that you are. At third as you are at short. At short, you're running things. At third, nah, you ain't. You're just there. You're just part of it.
That's what A-Rod did.
Yeah, A-Rod did.
Moved.
And A-Rod was a piece. I mean, Derek Jeter was running the damn show. Derek Jeter was the alpha. I mean, that was the dude. And I would just be shocked if Carlos Correa signed somewhere that they put him at third base. I do agree that there's a lot more, shortstop needy ball clubs, alpha needy ball clubs that are out there that we just haven't discussed yet that are probably more than interested in Carlos Correa. And being patient's the right way to go about this thing. We're talking about 10 plus years, $300 plus million. You damn sure don't want to get real hasty with that. So,
Clint, I think teams would be an absolute fool because to get Carlos to play out of the position that he wants to play, which is shortstop. I mean, he just won the award for being the best overall defensive player in the game, yeah, playing the position. Then you would have to pay him a ton of money. And I can't think of a team that would pay, because the reason why you want to pay him $300 plus million or give him that long of a contract is partly because of his great defensive work at the number one or number two toughest defensive position on the field behind catcher. That's part of why you're paying him so much.
Yeah,
so you'd pay him to play third. You pay him $385 over 10 years. I'm just throwing out something to play third. That'd be stupid. I agree.
It doesn't make any. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think teams would be smart to do it.
I'd be surprised.
Who in the hell in their right mind would sign the best defensive player in the conference and then go? Oh, we're gonna move you to a different position. It doesn't even make sense.
No. Yeah. There's no Derek Jeters around here that should move him off of it. It'll be interesting to say. But like I said, John Heyman reporting big spenders have yet to spend, and a lot of playoff teams have yet to spend big yet. And he's had offers, but he's going to be comfortable sitting back waiting. He's the top prize, and I guess for him, he don't got to rush.
Yeah,
he's good. He ain't got to rush.
There's no need, man.
We all do know Jeter's gold gloves were pretty cheap, though, right?
They all counted.
5 o'clock fire.
They all counted. Stop it. I'm a Derek Jeter guy. They all counted, you son of a...
I don't know.
We'll go to his page. 100% of the vote.
What's his page?
Go to his Google. Go to his
Wikipedia
Google
page?
Go to Google him.
Go to his Google him.
Google him, as Shaq will say. As Shaq will say, Google me, Chuck. Google me, Chuck. Google me. Google Derek Jeter. It's the greatest winner we've ever seen. All right. The Texans today, big news. They were completely virtual today and canceled practice. We started to understand they had some players ill. They then reported their the injury report. Chris Conley, Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, Cole Toner, they're all on the injury report with illness. They missed practice today. They're in an uphill battle against one of the hottest teams in football anyway, and they've missed a complete practice. If they got chances to win, which I know many fans don't think, but in the building, that's what the goal is. This hurts them in a major way, and we'll see if they have to, if they'll be able to practice tomorrow if they're canceling it today.
You know, the other interesting part about this show is, like, to cancel practice for four dudes with an illness, that seems a little bit extreme. There's got to be more to it in a sense of you know, possibly a COVID-19, possibly some kind of close contact. We'll see. I don't want to speculate on something like this, but, man, when you've got 80 plus, I mean, probably up close to 100 dudes in a building. That was more than that, counting staff. I mean, you got 100 dudes in one facility, and four of them have an illness that's not what's scaring our country to death, COVID-19. It's odd to just cancel the entire day, to cancel practice in the middle of the season. So I'd keep my ear on this to see what comes up next.
You know, and because we remember the rules that they put in place. You know, if you are unvaccinated, and you potentially cause the league to have to move a game,
yeah,
or they're taking game checks for both teams. And if I remember right, Farrell Brown said he's throwing hands. I remember that. Now, I don't know if it's going to go that far, but hell, they cancel practice tomorrow too. Like, to me, I got no choice to think that they have a real concern that this thing may be a bigger deal where, like, they got to keep folks away from each other and wonder if the game is in jeopardy. So that's something to really keep a close eye to.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, some news with the Astros as well. They have tendered contracts of six of their arbitration eligible players: Litmus Diaz, Josh James, Phil Maton, Rafael Montero, Ryan Stanek, the Razorback, and then Framber Valdez. And the thing that jumps out to me, Clint, is they've let a lot of guys walk out of this bullpen. And they've only brought in one, Hector Neris, who they brought in and brought him onto the team yesterday with his press conference. But they're bringing back Josh James, Phil Maton, Montero, and Stanek. Like, it almost feels like to me that this is the plan in the bullpen right here.
No chance.
I hope not. But I mean, they're not going after these guys. And they're letting guys like Graveman leave, which are contracts that I think are doable, 3 years, $24 million.
Don't forget they let Yimmy leave, too.
They let Yimmy as well go. They let Brooks Raley go.
That damn Josh James, though.
But to me, it feels like the game plan is, all right, we got Montero back from that suspension. And we got Baez, who I guess was hurt. They said he's progressing. We'll see. I mean, this just can't be it. But I just, like, they're bringing all these guys back, and most of these are bullpen guys. Like, I don't know. I'm wondering, are they going to make a move in this bullpen to actually fill the role of Kendall Graveman? Or do they see it the way that I threw out there, Phil Maton, Stanek, to Presley?
They did sign that closer, right?
Neris is still there.
That's a good addition.
Yeah, it's a good addition with him in it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that was the move.
I think Josh James is the one there to keep an eye on. That's the one that's getting people excited.
Why are you saying that? What are you talking about? To keep an eye on? To keep an eye on
nasty.
What?
Big nasty.
To keep an eye on.
That's my Yimmy this year.
To keep an eye on.
I'm gonna try to talk Josh James.
Oh, why would you do that?
Just those strikes.
No, let's nip this in the bud. Let's not even try this. Don't do this, because Josh is going to leave you pissed off.
Oh, he's already pissed me off multiple times, but I got to have me a Yimmy.
All right, you pick up Josh, I'll pick up Paredes.
I admire
Brian
y'all.
And you get 6'6".
I feel like I got the bad end of this deal.
You get 6'6".
5 o'clock fire.
All right. General manager Andrew Berry of the Cleveland Browns reiterated Wednesday that Baker Mayfield remains the Cleveland Browns starter and that he expects the quarterback to play, quote, his best football after the upcoming bye week. Baker is our quarterback, Berry said. He's healthy enough to win games for us. If he's ready to go, he's going to be our starter. All right, your thoughts on that? Because I've watched Baker the last couple of weeks, and I believe what's my man's name? Who's his backup?
The kid from U of H.
Yeah, U of H.
Texan. Was
that,
what's his name?
Was that the Vikings?
Case Keenum.
I feel like Case Keenum would have given them a better chance to win the last 2 weeks they played.
I don't think that's a stretch. I don't think that he could go
just
in there
really
and at
the
least
injuries.
Do.
I mean, the injuries to Baker right now, he's completely hampered.
Well, I mean, the problem with that is you don't see the injuries as he's playing, other than just poor throws or the inability to do. Like, it's not like he's out there, like, just unable to play. And so, you know, I think Cleveland's got a lot of problems. I mean, you look at last week against Baltimore. Both of those quarterbacks were bad the majority of that football game. But the first drive of the game, Baker Mayfield throws a strike to about the 4 yard line, and Peoples Jones, one of his best receivers, flat out drops it.
Oh, his tight ends were dropping the ball late in the game too.
They've got a lot of problems. Baker's not playing well in any stretch of the imagination. But this is precisely why go to Quarterback Talk in General Show. This is precisely why I believe that if the jury's still out on a quarterback and he's a first round quarterback like this, and you got the luxury of a fifth year option, and you can wait that thing out and see it. This is precisely why. I mean, obviously the jury's still out on Baker. We all knew that coming into it, and this is an obvious example. But this is why with a lot of quarterbacks, man, it is just a crapshoot, man, to give these guys the kind of money they're talking about giving them, regardless of what they've done in the past. If the jury's still out and you're not for sure locked that they can consistently win playoff-caliber football games, man, it's hard to give them that big money, and it's definitely that with Baker right now.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because they just had too much talent. Now, they've had some things. Their running backs, which is to me the heart of their team, Chubb and Kareem right. Hunt, they've both been out for multiple reasons, and so that doesn't help the situation. But they need a spark, man. They've got too much talent, it feels like, to be in the position and for their offense to look the way it does every week. And I don't know if it's completely Baker's fault, but hell, the game he didn't play, Case Keenum led them to a point where they won, and they looked better than they have at times. That game Sunday night was awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
Both places too.
It doesn't matter, show. I mean, quarterbacks, look, man, when the team wins, you get too much credit. When the team loses, you know, you get too much credit.
Yeah.
You know, when it's too much blame. I mean, when it's and you got to take it, and Baker's got to take it right now. I mean, it's what he's getting. We can sit around and say, well, this happened, that happened. No, man, Baker's the one not moving the needle right now.
All right, here's the question. You talk about quarterback issues in Cleveland. Should their backup be in? Hell, should the Texans' backup quarterback be playing? Not Jeff Driscoll, because he's a tight end, but should the Texans' quarterback, Davis Mills, be the starter the rest of the way? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, I want to hear from the people as well. 713-572-4610. Have we reached a point where the Houston Texans are 2-9? They just lost to the Jets, 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 Jets. I mean, no business. They're a 14-3 in this game. And then in the second half, the offense might as well just walked out there blindfolded, because I think they could have done better than what they did. Are we to a point now where, hey, man, Clint, somebody got to sit down. Hey, Tyrod, man, we thank you for everything you've done, man. You've done your job. But this is, boys to men would say, this is the end of the road for you. This is it, baby. This is it. This is it. Sean. That's right. Sean, Nate. This is it. Go ahead. Jump in there, Tyler. You ready? Anyway, this is it. This is in the row. Should we? Is it that?
My bad, Chief. I was on that right there.
We lost you. Should that be the conversation? Should that be the conversation? It's time to see a second stint of Davis Mills, because where we are, we're 2-9. I mean, winning is not the priority, and maybe it's time for Davis Mills. Have we reached that point in your opinion?
I definitely think we've reached that point. Here's the deal, though. I think David Culley, love or hate what David Culley's doing here, I think he's made it loud and clear. There's standards. And there's practices. And ultimately what that means is you as a player, you got to do what the coach asks you to do. And I don't think it's a conversation. I don't think it needs to be a conversation. I think if we're treating everybody equal, I think you just simply say, hey, here's the deal. Davis Mills is a starter moving forward. And everybody needs to act accordingly. It's all about the team. It's all about team first. And it's the same message that they've been preaching from Jump Street. And you go with the young quarterback. I do believe it's time. I think it makes sense. I don't know why you would continue with a veteran quarterback that has, since he returned from the injury, the offense has been worse, consistently worse. I still think. Now, what are we at now? Are we at six starts for?
Yeah, he had.
Were they 9-2? Are we at six or seven starts?
For
Davis Mills, and
I think it was six games.
So you got six starts for Davis Mills, and you got five from
because they split the Cleveland game.
Yeah. So you got five starts from Tyrod Taylor, and I still think it's hands down the best performance of a quarterback for the Houston Texans was Davis Mills versus the New England Patriots, hands down, and there's zero doubt about it, and so. I think there's a more than a strong enough case right now for it to be a no-brainer decision to go with the young quarterback. There's a couple of things here. The level of commitment that David Culley has shown towards a couple of players, Tyrod Taylor being one of them, is beyond my comprehension. Like, I don't understand why at this point in time you're so committed to Tyrod Taylor. Don't understand it. And on the same playing field there, I don't understand why it's important to get Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, those types of players, get them so much run offensively, make them a priority offensively to get to evaluate them and give them opportunity to make plays, but that doesn't hold true for guys like Davis Mills. Like, why is that such a priority with certain players but not all young players? And especially when there's nothing stopping you. There's no reason to justify why you shouldn't make that move at this point in time. So, yeah, Joe, I think it's a no-brainer in this particular situation with the Houston Texans. We should see Davis Mills moving forward at the quarterback position.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley Tyler producing this as we're talking here, and I want to hear from some of the people here. Do you feel like it's time? It's time at 2-9. To go ahead and sit down Tyrod Taylor and bring in Davis Mills. Understanding they don't win against the Titans if that switch was made then. I think Tyrod Taylor and his scrambling ability,
right,
those two touchdowns, they win that game. But, I mean, hell, they're 2-9. Do the wins really matter? Are we to that point yet? Let's go to the phone line, 713-572-4610. And the generally passionate Troy joins us. Go ahead, Troy. What's your thoughts?
It's depression, guys, not passion anymore.
That's all right.
But the problem, it doesn't matter. It does. Like, the simple answer to it is it doesn't matter, because where it stems at is Nick Caserio, for one, should have never drafted him if he wasn't planning on playing him. You don't draft a quarterback with such a low talent, knowing Deshaun Watson's out of the picture, and not playing, because you expect a draft pick next year. You expect it. And you expect multiple draft picks with Deshaun Watson. And with that, you're thinking that you're going to have yourself multiple first-round draft picks where you might be able to hit on a more talented quarterback than what Davis Mills is. Now, if you're going to draft him like the dumbass he is, Nick Caserio, then you play him, because Tyrod Taylor, it doesn't matter. That scrambling touchdown you talked about, who cares? I would have rather them just lost it. I want this team embarrassed. I hate Cal McNair. I hate Jack Easterby. I don't want them to have any success. But if you're going to do it, if you're going to make football decisions, make them smart. Be competent. You don't hire David freaking Coley. I mean, it's not – it's hard.
From you right now,
he's an idiot. You keep – he Nick Casario hired him to say, hey, I'm going to make the decisions. He had to tell Dave Coley that. And if he didn't, he's dumber than what I'm making him out to be. So, yes, you start Dave. You start Davis Mills 0-0. And you tell the rest of the team, shut up. You suck. Get over it. We're playing it for the future. And you know what? Maybe I'm a little cutthroat, but all I know is Nick Casario sucks. David Coley sucks. The Texans suck. And, you know, I hope the freaking Colts beat them this week.
You don't mean that, Troy, and I appreciate your call. Troy's just hurt. That's just hurt, man. Troy's going to be rooting like hell for the Texans. He's hurt right there, Troy, and that's okay, man. Somebody give Troy a hug and a
stop being a dumpster fire
and a drink.
Stop being a dumpster fire, man.
He's hurt.
I'm not going to co-sign all the name calling, but I will co-sign the you should have never done it if and when you did, then you play, right? I mean, I agree wholeheartedly that. Taking a quarterback with your most premium pick, especially now. We need to circle back to this because especially now. Like, that pick of Davis Mills looks even worse because you've seen what they've been able to do with the picks they did make. Nico Collins.
In the third round, they moved up to get.
Yeah, Nico Collins is playing. Brevin Jordan is playing. Roy Lowe. The only guy that they drafted that's not playing, I mean, other than the subject matter here, I mean – is the kid the Garrett Wallow kid?
And he's playing special teams.
He's a special. That's who he is. That's who they drafted, right? I mean, he's a backup linebacker. It's a special teams. He's doing what they drafted him to do. I mean, so you're talking about their most premium pick in a year when they had five, and the other four are doing exactly what you drafted them to do, if not exceeding expectations. Roy Lopez and Nico Collins. I mean, and. You're sitting here with Davis Mills going, nah, we're gonna commit to Rod Taylor. So I agree, you should have never done it. And if you are gonna do it, you got to commit to him at some point in time. And now's the time.
No, it is. It is. All right. Listen, as Tyler is taking us back to Motown Philly,
well, right there, my boy Melvin Taylor. At Robert E. Lee High School.
I hate to do this. I'm just the messenger. There's gonna be more that is going to really irritate the hell out of you, and I think it's really gonna get to Clint Sterner.
Hold on,
can't wait to read this coming up next. Again, like I loved you before. This
time I want you to love me much more. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, really got passionate there. Troy let it out. If you missed that, Clint, that was fun. Listen, I don't mean to be of the guy bringing the bad news. I'm just the messenger. Just read the stuff as best I can, and sometimes I fall short on the reading. But Rasul Douglas, he is the reigning, defending NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And why does that name matter, Clint? Rasul Douglas.
Well, he was in camp with the Texans here for a short period of time. I think it was less than a week.
Yep. 4 days.
Holy mother of God.
Well, I told you.
Brought him in 4 days when they were running through trying to get when they were trying to get corners in here.
Yep. He didn't last long, and then he went to Arizona, I believe, and then he ended up in Green Bay. And he made a touchdown a game-winning interception earlier in the year. That's when I realized that he was not only in Green Bay, but he was starting in Green Bay, and he was making game-changing plays in Green Bay. And now we sit here, and would you say NFC Defensive Player of the Year?
A week.
In a week when Green Bay, who did Green Bay beat this week?
Oh, God. The Rams.
There you go.
He had another pick six. Matt Stafford, three this season. Three pick sixes this season. Tom Brady, three in this career.
Really? Holy cow. I threw two against Tom Brady in the Citrus Bowl. I threw two to Tom Brady's teammates in one game.
Tom, three pick sixes in his NFL career. Stafford.
Are you serious?
Yeah, three this year.
I know one of them was the last play of 2 years ago, wasn't it? The last play of his New England career?
Was that a pick six? Oh, yeah, in the playoffs, yeah. That's a good one against the Titans. But, no, it's just – that's just another piece where the frustration rolls. He's 20, just turned 26, so a young player at a position of need and bawling out.
Yeah.
Bawling out. Like, this wasn't just, and I think you made reference to an earlier performance he had against the Cardinals where he was up one-on-one with A.J. Green with a game on the line and picked off Kyler Murray to end that game when it looked bleak. Like, this ain't just like he just had a big week. He's been playing pretty well leading up to this.
Think about what you just said. I mean, he made a game-saving interception against Arizona, best team in the NFC, one of the best teams in the NFC.
9-2, best record in the NFL.
There you go. And he had a pick six in a game against the Rams, who in the NFC is one of the better teams. I don't know if they're going to keep it up, but they're one of the better football teams. So two big time games for Green Bay. He's made game changing types of plays. And then the thing is here in Houston is, look, players get out of organizations all the time and end up going somewhere else and playing. And so I don't want to drop the hammer too hard on the Texans here, but the truth of the matter is you're talking about a position where there was a ton of turnover. You were bringing guys in because you didn't have bodies. So the thought is you brought guys in because you don't have bodies to finish training camp, and so you're obviously your position at the top was really, really weak, and you're evaluating players to take and keep and move forward within the season with a weak group. Like, it's one thing if you bring a defensive lineman in with this group, and they were strong top to bottom, 8-9 deep. If you bring in a defensive lineman, you miss on him, okay, whatever. But you're bringing a guy into a very weak position group on your roster, and he still doesn't make the cut, and he goes to a different organization, is making game-changing type plays, and is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Yeah, that I would say that was a huge swing and miss by Nick Caserio and company.
You're right. I'm not going to go with you on the – I'm not going to put the hammer down on the Texans.
Okay.
I think in two ways right here is we're talking about Rasul Douglas, who was in camp for 4 days with the Texans. Four damn days with the Texans, is now been playing really well with the Packers, one of the best teams in the NFL, and he is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. They cut him, I think, August 29th is when they cut him. I'm going to bring the hammer on them. One, so 4 days. Did you even have enough time to truly evaluate him as a player? Like, at this point, let me find young steals. You know who don't need young steals? The Packers. They already got Jair Alexander on one corner. He gets healthy. Now they got this nut on the other side of him. Like, you were at a place where you don't have a first or second round pick. You're struggling, and you're trying to find young, cheap assets and maybe things you could really catch on and say, hey, man, this was the break we needed. We just got a corner. This kid's 26 years old,
yep,
and he is playing like this. Now, that's one piece of it where I'm dropping the hammer. The other part is, I'm going to be honest, because people talk about, man, Jonathan Taylor, man, they took him right after Ross Blacklock. If I'm going to be honest, Jonathan Taylor or Rasul Douglas probably wouldn't look like the way they look right now if they played for the Texans. And I think that I'm dropping the hammer on the Texans because I just don't think they're as well coached, and they would be put in the best situations to perform like they have. So I've had to stop with myself and stop looking at guys like Jonathan Taylor, like, God, boy, what he would be doing. He wouldn't be doing that if he was running behind this line and Tim Kelly calling the plays. Rasul Douglas, he probably wouldn't be doing this in this defense. He'd probably be looking very similar to Terrence Mitchell and company in this defense. So that's the other part is, one, something happens where these players leave. I mean, we just watched Philip Lindsay have his best game of the season.
Yeah.
One week removed. To the Dolphins.
I mean, he wasn't with the Dolphins a week, was he?
No.
How long did he have a Dolphin locker in the locker?
He got traded Tuesday, he got picked up Tuesday. So there's something there where there are guys who are performing, not performing here, and then you just see them, whatever it is, their coaching, their scheme, or whatever, you could just see there's no way Jonathan Taylor would be here leading the league in the NFL.
In rushing.
Right, or there's no reason that I don't think we'll be seeing Rasul Douglas being Defensive Player of the Week. So, one, their evaluation, 4 days, that's enough. We don't need him. Really? And then, I mean, hell, probably wouldn't be this. He wouldn't be this player if he was here.
It is interesting to think that, I mean, again, in a weak position group, so it's not like we know the decision to let him go didn't come down to, man, we just feel really good about our group, or we feel really good about the top, you know, starting two corners. No, you were desperate. You had a desperate need at the top.
And knowing you were going to be shopping Bradley Roby.
Right, right. And, you know, you didn't like Vernon Hargraves, ultimately.
I forgot about Big Vern. How could I?
Yeah, like, you know, so for me, it's like you got 4 days to look at a dude at a very needy position. I would like to think that a guy, given all those circumstances, a guy that's capable of going and starting for Green Bay and making huge plays for Green Bay, I would like to think that talent, a guy that's capable of doing that, you would at least notice that talent when you had him in your camp for 4 days. But like I said, there's players get out of organizations all the time. I could live with it if it was a defensive lineman, because the Texans are playing good ball there and they're deep that position. It's hard for me to bite the Rasul Douglas bullet, because the depth at the cornerback. I mean, they've had to play Des King outside.
Lonnie Johnson just learned the position 2 weeks ago, right?
Right.
Relearned this defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now he was out there. Yeah. He was out there getting time. Yeah, that's tough. So boy, we'll see more of it. All right. Let's jump in. Scorpio, let's get a couple of calls in. 713-572-4610. Go ahead, Scorpio.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I don't know what's going on down there on Kirby Drive, but this is getting ridiculous. At what point do you start to think that these players are doing this on purpose just to get out of this town? And it's just a stigma on the Texans right now. I mean, even the Detroit Lions at 0 wins this year, I'm more impressed with them than I am the Texans because of the front office. I don't know what the hell's going on, but something's got to give.
All right. Appreciate the call, Scorpio. They're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot. And I will say this, and I want to throw this to you. Maybe we can get into this some more tomorrow as well. Are you right now, this is, maybe you'll have some time to think about it, baby, but are you surprised that they're in this spot? Did you think they would be further along? Or like when Nick Caserio took over, we started to hear from Nick Caserio a little bit more, started to see the plan in training camp. Did you think they would be right here in this space? Because now, to me, it does not feel like, what do you say? It feels like to me they still have shovels in hand.
No question. Yeah, no. It's, you got to try to be as bad as they are. Like you're not. And this is coming. Look, as soon as they hired David Culley, I said this is another Dave Campo deal. I did not like the Tyrod Taylor sign in terms of him being a starter in this league and the guy that you're leaning on based off of the last 3 years and him only playing 4 games. You know, I hated the signing or the retaining of Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator. I hated keeping the Bill O'Brien.
These are all shovels.
These are all, I'm just setting the table of that's, so I hated all those moves. And so my expectations were really, really, really low from in the first place. And they are miles. Mm. They are miles from meeting the expectations. It is hard. It's hard to believe that guys are making money in this league and the product is what we watch on Sundays. I mean, to come out and run 19 plays for 40, what was it, 46, 45? 45 yards in the second half last week against the worst defense in the NFL, you got to try to do that. To the caller's point of he watches Detroit and he's more impressed, what I text you after that first drive a couple weeks ago.
First drive, you said Detroit.
Thanksgiving Day.
Shown they're better than the Texans in one drive.
One drive, Jared Goff and company on a winless team. There were two or three plays that were great draw-ups, great execution. The quarterback had a clean pocket. He delivered a strike. Now, the wheels came off about 5 minutes later, and it was uglier than hell, and you quickly saw why they were 0-9. But you saw a spurt right there. You saw a very small sample size of like, okay, now just do more of that right there, and you got a chance to win a ball game.
But you see glimpses.
Yeah.
There are some. I mean, and I guess maybe the Texans showed some in the first half with the touchdown pass to Rod Taylor and he got to Cooks. But sometimes, man, there's not even glimpse. The Tennessee game, they won. And I can get what you're saying about the Lions. The Tennessee game, they won. offensively,
not one play.
There's not any glimpse.
But look, look at the Brandon Cooks touchdown. Brandon Cooks was open later in that ball game when he threw the ball to Danny Amendola on the sideline for a throw in the ocean touchdown. He didn't throw it to him, but that throw, that was hard. Like, he held the ball longer than you should have to, and then he threw the ball into, I don't know how the ball got through the defensive back's hands, right, to Brandon Cook's belly. And it's just one of those, like, yeah, we'll take the touchdown, but let's be honest. There was a lot of luck involved. You're living by the skin of your teeth. Like, that first Lions drive, you could tell it was plays that were drawn up to beat that particular coverage, and they executed it flawlessly. We haven't seen that. We hadn't seen that one or two, maybe three times all year with the Texans. And I'm talking about single plays, not drives. I'm talking about single plays where you're like, boom, that was it. That was it right there. It's just been – now, there were some flashes against the Rams in the second half when they had their number twos in there, when they had their second strings in there.
Yeah.
But other than that, we hadn't seen a whole hell of a lot of it. So to the caller's point is I agree with him. I watched the Lions, and it's a lot of bad football now. But you see two or three times in the ball game where you go, okay, if you can give me – like David Culley has said, they did in the bye week, they just took all the bad stuff out and they're going to do more of the good stuff. Like, if Dan Campbell said that in Detroit, I don't like him saying it, but I could still go, okay, well, I see what he's talking about. That first drive on Thanksgiving Day, the morning, I believe, they played the first game, didn't they?
Yeah.
That first drive of Thanksgiving Day NFL football, that's what he's talking about. That's what Dan Campbell's talking about. They got to do more of that, and they might have a chance to win a ball game. I can see what he's talking about. I have no idea what the hell David Culley's talking about when he says that. No, not one bit of an idea. Like, I honestly, I'm being genuine and sincere. I can't, when he says, we're going to take what we've been doing good and we're going to do more of it. Because, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, because it blows you away, because when he says it, and then the thing that they do is David Johnson.
Yeah, six touches in the first drive. Yeah, look,
you know what I mean? Like, and that can't be what you were thinking we're doing
right
well, and we got to do more of them. But it seems like that is the action that they take. I'm going to tell you, as we were just saying this, Clint, are you surprised that they're in this place that they are right now? And I most certainly am. Like, I was not a huge Caserio fan when they brought him in. Like, I just didn't mesh well to me. But I heard him speak, heard him talk, kind of started to see the plan. And I was like, all right, I can at least see the plan, what they're trying to do. All right, this is kind of starting to make sense. The more you heard from it, it's like it's making sense. But as you've said, the analogy you use, they still got multiple shovels in their hand.
No question.
I mean, they are still at a place where they're taking Jeff Driscoll and making him a tight end.
And he's on the roster.
Like, they already have another quarterback on the roster, on the active roster, that's not doing anything. And they brought another one to do it. Like, I thought coming in, all right, there's going to be some young guys that, like, you really feel you got promise. I think it's just one. I mean, I think Nico could be okay, but I feel like I'm just saying that about Nico because comparative to other places.
Yeah.
Like, other places that have good young wide receivers are far more productive and has shown more than Nico Collins has. I'm just kind of guessing of what I've seen in practice because they ain't done nothing. I mean, hell, they haven't eclipsed 160 yards passing in the last two games. And I thought it would be more. It's one. It's Jonathan Greenard. He's the only real young player that you come out and said, all right,
yep,
that's one. Titus Howard, whatever the hell they're doing with him, he's regressed. Like, he steps back. Lonnie Johnson, he's back to playing corner again. Like, it's just, I thought there would be, I thought by this moment, after the bye week, multiple, that we would be in the space of the rebuild where next year there was a step taken. Like, this year there was a step taken to it. Knew it was going to be rough, but there was a step taken that we could point to. They haven't come forward yet, in my opinion. Maybe they feel like they have. They haven't come forward yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I understand that it's about building the foundation. It's about setting the standard and all of that jive. So I understand, like, in my mind, I'm not looking for an individual player to necessarily stand out. I'm looking for the standard that they keep talking about, the foundation that they keep talking about, it's still a football team. If you just listen to the head coach, turns the football over too much and has too many penalties, right? Along with the leaders, I mean, multiple times this year had their helmet taken away from them. It's hard to see where there's any sign of improvement other than maybe getting the salary cap in somewhat some kind of shape better than what it was. Outside of that, and then normally obviously just by time passing, the draft is going to be different because you're going to get your picks back first and second round. So that's going to be better. Yeah. But outside of things that are just pretty easy fixes, and really time ends up correcting the salary cap with a couple of moves. Time ends up correcting the draft with just waiting the bad years out, and they've waited that bad year out. I mean, outside of that, like you said, I have a really hard time seeing where they're making any progress whatsoever. Yes. It's like most teams in this situation, like you could look up and go, man, you know, they're not running the ball very well. They can't throw it. The quarterback's turning the football over, but they got a hellacious offensive line. They got some dudes up front that are straight ballers, man. You know, are they?
They got a piece of it that makes sense.
You can't. Each position group is still a mess.
I agree with that.
Literally every one of them. Which one's not? Which position group offensively is not a mess? This offensively. Which position group offensively is not a mess right now?
Tight end is the closest. Tight end is potentially the closest, but a guy who you thought could get a contract, we hadn't even seen anything.
Can't get run.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
I agree with you, Bub.
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it feels like next year they're going to be in the same space that they are at the start of this year in terms of the rebuild.
Well, you just hope that, like, to me, you would hope to see that there was some kind of stability created. Especially when you're bringing in veterans and you're making decisions like Tyrod Taylor and Justin Britt and David Johnson and all these older Brandon Cooks and Chris Conley, all these older dudes that you think one of the key things they bring to the table is just stability. And they're talking about it and they're telling us about it.
Their actions,
but what we see on the field it's not indicative of a disciplined football team, a mature football team, a trustworthy, accountable football team. It's just not.
Texans All Access coming up next. The GM, Nick Caserio, will join. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris will stay tuned right behind us. Tyler, great job. Clint, great job as usual. Thanks to Ryan Leaf and everybody who participated. I am Ron, the show Hughlin, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Maybe you'll try. I probably got a little too cavalier with a fart about seven times.
That's unbelievable.
And had to throw my drawers away.
That's not getting cavalier with a fart. That is crapping yourself.
Happened to me.